Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
Well, today, I've got some things, surprise, that I want to say. I enjoy, as I seek the Lord and what He has for us, His timing is always perfect. And at the beginning of every year, as we start our vision, I periodically write down different topics that I want to cover as the Lord would have us this year talk about things. And one of the areas that I had been wanting to speak on and had wrote some things down on was disappointment. Disappointment. And I struggle with what to call this because I don't like a sermon title called disappointment. It just don't sound right. That sermon's called disappointment. I don't think I'll listen to it. I don't want to be disappointed. I don't know if any of you in life face disappointments, but I know that yesterday I drove to Hot Springs, left yesterday morning, drove down there and watched a game, and then turned right around and drove home. And I watched some disappointment yesterday. When that's the big game our Christian school plays every year against Hot Springs, and as that last point was scored, I watched the faces of some young ladies fight back tears. What I saw was disappointment. What I want you to know is you can realize that for them, but what I want you to do is right now, and this is why I'm talking about this right now, because they're not here. So they're getting a real encouraging, motivating message, and I pray that's what this will be today. But I didn't want them to come back and let me just magnify your disappointment that was yesterday. But everybody here in life faces disappointment in some way, shape, or form. And I don't know what it is that you've been disappointed in. Maybe you've been disappointed in a job. Maybe you've been disappointed in your kids. Maybe you've been disappointed in a decision that your spouse made without talking to you. Maybe you've been disappointed in a church that you have been to or once went to, or maybe this one. Maybe you've been disappointed in leadership and a decision that was made. Maybe you've been disappointed in the amount of money that you thought you'd be making at this point in life and you're not. Or, but I don't know, what is it? What is it? I want you to fill in the blank, because right now, I don't just want to talk about a bunch of high school girls that lost a game yesterday. What I want to talk about is I want to make sense for what you're dealing with in life and make a word that comes together. I mean, have God's word come together for your good and make a difference. And so we all have to understand that disappointments happen. Everyone at some point in life will be disappointed in a situation, in yourself, in someone else, but there will be disappointment. When reality doesn't meet what you were expecting, what do you do? See, what expectation plus reality, expectation and reality can sometimes equal disappointment. Are you following me? You were expecting this, but the reality is that didn't happen. So what happens when you were expecting this and then this happened? What is your equal? What equals that? Does it equal disappointment? And if it does, and I'm just going to tell you, all of us have been there and all of us will face that, what do you do? Disappointments, if not addressed properly as a Christian and put in the right proper perspective, will cause negativity and pessimism. And I have watched Christian after Christian after Christian get disappointed, and then disappointment was equal because expectation didn't meet reality, and so then they got disappointment, and then what happens is disappointment then equals frustration, and then frustration equals negativity and being pessimistic. Well, nothing ever works for me. You ought to just follow me around. It's like the floor's falling out on me. The ceiling's coming down on all the time. Well, that's someone who just really is disappointed. Disappointment in life. Disappointed in, I didn't get married expecting divorce one day, but that's where I'm at now. I'm in this situation financially. I didn't mean to be here. That wasn't what I expected to be, but because of this, whatever the reason is, now I'm disappointed, and I've been trusting God, and I just don't know what to do. What I want you to know is God didn't cause the frustration. God didn't cause all the bad things to happen to you, and we're putting God in a box and saying, oh, wait a minute here. Now I'm disappointed, and it's it's all your fault. I want to give us proper perspective this morning. Are y'all ready for this? See, I'm trying to set up what we all deal with on a day-to-day basis. If the word doesn't leave here today and change the way you operate, then there's no reason to come. See, we're going to come to church and we're going to be taught, we're going to be filled up, we're going to give, we're going to be a part of, but we've got to be equipped to go out and minister. And I want to equip our people to go out and minister on a day-to-day basis. I'm sick and tired of Christians not ministering because they live in continual disappointment and they've handled it wrong. So we've got to do something different. If we're going to further the cause of Christ, Christians live in disappointed. Every day you turn on the news. And if you don't have the right perspective, what's going to happen is you're going to get disappointed. Just disappointed on what's going on. It's just ridiculous. It'll result in negativity and pessimism. And here's the thing. Your disappointment can remove someone else from where they could have been in the kingdom of God because of what they heard from you. I don't want that responsibility. Come on, I don't want to live there and be responsible for sending someone because I handled disappointment wrong. I'm not saying that disappointment doesn't come. And you'll be disappointed in a person, but you'll be disappointed in circumstances, and there are times you'll be disappointed in yourself. But I don't want to lose or miss God's blessing because I make a wrong move when I get disappointed. I just don't want that. Christians aren't exempted from disappointment. And the sad thing is, if not careful, we can be a critic of God. And I don't want to be criticizing God. See, a critic finds all this wrong with what God said he was going to do, and it didn't happen the way we thought it would, so expectation didn't meet reality. I'm set that up. Now I want to talk about it. The writer of Psalms boldly declared, Psalm 34:8, here's what he said very clearly, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Take refuge in God. Psalm 22:5. "They cried to you and they were delivered. They trusted in, leaned on, confidently relied on you, weren't ashamed or confounded in disappointment." They weren't disappointed. That's what the Bible says. They weren't disappointed. How did they not get disappointed? They cried out to God. When you have circumstances, people, situations, yourself that you get disappointed in, let me tell you, your first move's got to be to cry out to God. And sometimes it's a good cry. I never understood the term good cry. I thought that was an oxymoron. A good cry. That didn't make sense to me, but growing up, a good cry was never good. Cry always equal bad. Now, are you following me? But then God blessed me with two girls, and I was in a house for the last 25 years with a wife and two girls, and I've learned that there's good cries. If you're married men, you know that there are times that the wife just needs a good cry. And it's not always you are the reason. Sometimes it is, but not always. It's just they need a good cry every once in a while. Dads, you have to learn that if you have girls. There'll be times that your daughter just needs a good cry. And I still have trouble with that, but I know that there's a good cry. And I can see it in Bible 22:5. "They cried to you and were delivered." So there are times that you got to have a good cry. And there are seasons of life where I can look back and realize that there was healing in tears and how God moved in that situation. Well, here's some of the reasons for disappointment. Let's kind of talk about, we've mentioned a few, but there's tons of biblical stories you can use where people in the Bible had every reason to be disappointed and were. The first thing I want to talk about, and this isn't an all-inclusive list, these are just ones I wrote down. First thing is our high expectation. Now, as Christians, we're supposed to have a high expectation, right? So we're supposed to have high expectation. But we go along and we're like, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. Maybe my expectation is too high. Well, if your expectation's in the wrong place, you might have it too high. But in God, you can't get high enough. See, so I want to make sure we make the difference here. Joseph, liking Mary. You just go right to the beginning of the New Testament. Joseph liking Mary, and all's good. And he expects that his wife is going to be totally his one day, and he would be marrying a virgin. You can imagine the disappointment in Joseph's heart when he found out Mary was pregnant. I mean, that had to be a fight. Come on, that had to be a fight. You're getting well, I'm still going to do the right thing, but he had to deal with disappointment. Then in a dream, God told Joseph about his redemption plan for mankind, and there's millions and millions of gentlemen in Israel during that time that wouldn't have looked at Joseph as really honoring her by taking her, but he went against what everybody else would think and said, you know what? I'm going to put my expectation on God and not the circumstance. And when God said, here's the deal, he got a hold of the picture. He got a different expectation. But you know, he had a high expectation, and sometimes our high expectation disappoints us immediately, and then you find out later God had a bigger plan. God had a bigger... Over my lifetime, I have had high expectations in something that didn't happen, and I have been very disappointed. And then later, only to see a bigger plan. And I hope that you've had enough life circumstances happen where you can look back and see that. But right now, whatever you're thinking, well, I'm disappointed in this, whatever that is, I want to give you a word today. Hold on. Put your expectation in God. Hold on. Put your expectation in the right place. I wanted so bad to be a big time basketball player. Now look at this physique. I could have done it because I didn't look like this. I mean, I was still a little on the pudgy side most of the time, but I could handle it. I thought I can do this. I can make this. I mean, I'm a good basketball player. And so my high school year, I made the team. Oh, it's going to be great. Only to find out before our first game, our first real big league game, I break my ankle, and the doctor says, you'll probably never play basketball again. In fact, if you walk on that and you continue to walk on it, something really bad could happen. You need to find something else that you enjoy. That's not what you want to hear from the doctor when you're a freshman in high school and you're thinking, are you kidding me? This is my life destiny. NBA, here I come. I mean, how am I going to get a college scholarship? This was my whole route. I don't know what I'm going to... Majorly disappointed. But you know, I can look back now at 47 years old and I can see how God used that. He didn't make that happen, but God used that to make all things work together for my good. And I can go right back to that particular thing, and there's a lot of other ones, but I can go back to right that particular thing, and I can go, I can see God transformed a plan, and I'm here today because God used an ankle break. Now hear me, God didn't cause an ankle break, but God used an ankle break and said, you know what, you might want to head a different route. And that doesn't change the disappointment laying in that hospital bed. That doesn't change going to school for the next month or two or however long it took with a cast all the way up to my almost my, it was ridiculous. That doesn't change that I was itching so bad under that cast. Have you ever had a cast and that itch? Oh. Come on, y'all here today? I was disappointed. But you know, after some time and serving God, I can look back and see, you know what, God used that. And right when you're in your area of disappointment, I want you to know it's hard to look back. So you've got to find other circumstances. You've got to find other situations. You've got to find the word and realize Joseph was right there. Joseph was right there and then God. See, disappointment, and then you better start crying out. Number two, wrong motives. Judas, one of Jesus' disciples that betrayed him, joined up with Jesus, expecting him to build an earthly kingdom. That was the thought that he was getting as Jesus was talking about his kingdom. He was thinking an earthly kingdom. He's going to be the king right here. And in the corner of his mind, in Judas's mind, in a corner, just a little corner of it, there was a thought that he'll really become somebody because he's with Jesus. And Jesus is going to be king. And I believe that Jesus is going to be king, and so I'm going to stick around with him because it'll benefit me. You know, a lot of people sign up for Christianity with that thought. This will benefit me. I think I'll just join up. But later he realized there was no plan for Jesus to build an earthly kingdom. Jesus just keeps talking about a heavenly kingdom, which in Judas's limited understanding, he can't really get. And in the end, his wrong motives disappointed him and it led him to treachery. So how did that happen? His motives were all messed up. So he got disappointed because it didn't happen the way he thought. Many people join up for Christianity. They'll go to church. They'll even serve in the church for the wrong motive. Look at me. I'm somebody. Come on, it has to be Jesus why you're serving. It has to be Jesus why you've joined up. It has to be him and furthering his cause. See, getting saved means dying to self. Yeah, well, this will benefit me to go to church. It will, but you've got, if it's going to benefit the flesh and that's all you think about, you didn't die to self. There's a dying to self that takes place and it's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about Jesus. Bury the old man, living for Christ, living for him alone, not self. Come on, that's something we got to get a hold of with salvation. Third thing, a limited perception. The disciples didn't understand why Jesus, the Messiah, should be crucified. That just didn't make sense to them. In their limited understanding, crucifixion meant death. Death meant defeat. See, little did they know that it is part of God's plan so that Jesus could redeem the whole world from the slavery of sin. They didn't get all of that. Our limited perception, just like theirs, could disappoint us. But like Jesus, the crucified Savior, and the situation with the disciples, our source of disappointment, our source of frustration, disappointment, could become our redemption and our blessing. It could. You're disappointed, you're frustrated, whatever the situation is, it could be what redeems you. It could be. So the disciples are all going, oh. That, what I'm telling you is you can't see just a few years down the road. You can't see just a few months down the road, but God can. He sees the beginning from end. And right now where you're living in disappointment could be the very thing you look back to like a broke ankle. Could be the very fact that you look back and your best friend gets crucified on a cross, the one you've been following. Could be the thing you look back to and see, oh, I can't believe I thought I was marrying a virgin. And no, I'm marrying the one who's carrying the Savior of this world, the trust that God, are you following me? See, we get this all messed up because we just have a limited perception. You get so caught up on the disappointment and we live limited. Number four, mistaken priority. People oftentimes look for comfort in material things or material blessings. Maybe they look at it in as the girls yesterday were facing this, even in the win of a game. Oh, that's our whole priority, to win the game. But you know what Ashlyn and Tristan and Rachel, I'll talk to them about afterwards. I asked them, what'd you say when you went to the locker room? They said, here's what they told them. Ladies, here's the deal. I'm more interested in your character, and so is God. I'm more interested in your character and how you handle this. If you'd have won, if you'd have lost, this was the same speech I had for either or. I'm interested in your character and what's going to happen here because this is really important. How you handle this will be how you handle other frustrations and disappointments in life. And you've got to know your character needs to stand. See, the priority, obviously we want to win and we're going to play to win because you want to have wins in life. I mean, that's how we play and that's how we look at it. And we don't like, it's not fun being tested. It's not having spiritual exercises that we just find enjoyment in. So God, just strengthen my faith. Oh, that's, be careful. strengthen my faith. God has a different priority. He has no use for an untamed soul if they're not willing to choose to train under his ways. See, his use will come from someone who's obedient and puts him priority and his ways as a priority. We may never understand God's way. That's a hard thing, isn't it? Because we want answers. God, why? You may never understand. He's looking for obedience. Regardless, he's looking for obedience. Our false understanding of God sometimes brings us to a wrong conclusion, and then we put priorities in the wrong place. Come on, we got to get our priorities right. Our priorities. God lists a lot of priorities. Love him, and then love others. That's God's priority. We got to cling to him. We got to cling to him. Number five, and the last one I'm going to talk about on the reasons for disappointment, is false reliance. Connections, jobs, education, money, all of those I'm not here to put down, but here's what I'm here to tell you about them. They're like sand. They're like sand. They really are. They're here for a while until the tide rolls in. Then they all get shifted and changed. If you ever hang out on a river or a creek, I've talked to Ben about this a lot. We used to go down to his creek, and there was every year he'd have to go down there because the whatever flood came through changed where we would be able to camp and hang out. It just shifted everything. Well, know this. In life, this is just temporary. Things shift. Things shift. How do health, situations, circumstances, jobs, money, shifting takes place. And all of that happens, and we've got to ride that tidal wave that comes in and what's happening. But here's the thing. If we put our reliance on that sandbar and the storm comes and it's not there no more, are you going to be disappointed? Yeah. Your priority was in the wrong place. Your reliance of what you, a false reliance. I rely on this. I'm totally dependent upon this. Our false reliance on someone, on situation, and on self will oftentimes disappoint us. We've got to put our reliance on Jesus. See, that's just got to. So what do we do? What do we do? How can you be resilient? Turn to 1 Kings. I want to use a story out of Scripture. And as you're turning there, 1 Kings 19, let me just give you a little background of what I'm getting ready to read about. What happened in chapter 18, I'm not going to read all of it, was a story about Elijah. And he had told King Ahab, which wasn't a great man, he was worshiping gods, not good things, and the prophets, he was worshiping Baal, which is just these idols that they'd set up and manufactured. So he had all these prophets of Baal that he asked, Elijah asked King Ahab to summon them all. Get them all together. Get all 400 of Asherah, his wife's god, Jezebel, King Ahab's wife. Get them all together. Get the 450 prophets of Baal. Get all these people together and bring them to this mountain. I want all these people to hang out over here on this mountain. And here's what he said. If the Lord is God, then worship him. But if Baal is God, worship him. And here's how we're going to tell. We're going to ask our God, your God or mine, I'm going to ask him to send fire. Send fire, light this altar up, get this wood burning. And so all 450 prophets of Baal in chapter 18, it's really interesting, you read it, they all get out there and they're dancing around and they're trying to get fire to come, trying to get this all lit up. They're dancing around, and what's happening? Elijah's over there going, yeah, come on, what happened? Where's he at? He's jabbing them like I was doing at the game yesterday, at least until the third one, third set. Then they started jabbing me. The Lord is God, worship him. That's what he was saying. Elijah's saying, come on, guys. And so Elijah then gets up, prepares the altar, and he gets it ready, and he says, oh, and build a trench around it here. He built this trench around it, and then he said, now go get four big jugs of water. Go bring these jugs of water and pour it over there. Go do it again. So he brings four more. Go do it one more time. And so he gets 12 big jugs of water, and he pours it over the wood in chapter 18. And the trench is full, and then he does what? He prays. What's God do? Whoosh! Fire. Then everybody is paying attention to what Elijah said. In fact, Elijah, right after that story, then goes and prays for rain, asks his guy to go check and see, yeah, there's a little cloud. You better go tell him the rain's coming. There's a little cloud just about the size of your hand. You can't even see it. Little cloud. Go tell him because you won't even make it back. It'll be so bad. The rain's coming. It's going to be, we got rain coming. And he goes to tell, hey, we want everybody to know what's going on here. Boy, you read this story in verse 13, you get all fired up. Elijah is a man of God. I mean, he is just there. Come on, how many just said, I want to be that? I want to be someone who can just pray the fire of God down. Let's read in verse in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets. He brought all 450 down in his valley, killed them all. Jezebel sent his message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I haven't killed you just as you killed them. Now, what would the man of God do? You're already reading on, I know. What would the man of God do? Come on. I'll send the fire of God down and do the same thing to you as I just did them 450 prophets. See, I serve God. But what's it say in verse 3? Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. Chapter 18 and then 19. He's afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town of Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors who've already died. Boy, that sounds like a real man of God, don't it? No, I'm going to tell you what that sounds like. It sounds like someone who's experienced the power of God but still got disappointed. That's what it sounds like. Don't beat yourself up because you've got disappointed. Come on, we've all been right there. Disappointed in what happened. I'm just disappointed. But what I want you to see is the important part of this. He did get frustrated. It was like, what in the world is going on? And he lay down and slept under this tree. God, just take me. I just don't know. I've had enough, Lord. Verse 5, he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. Miracle! So he ate and drank, and he lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more. The journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up, ate and drank. The food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai. What do we get from this? Here's what I get. I understand that disappointment comes to bold, God-fearing, God-loving Christian people. Disappointment comes. So it never freaks me out when one of God's is disappointed, ever. I'm past that. One of God's getting disappointed. It never freaks me out when all of a sudden that starts coming on me. Man, I just didn't think they'd do that. I'm just disappointed. I can't believe the way so-and-so acted. I can't believe what I just thought. How did that thought get there? I'm just so disappointed in myself. See, I'm just so disappointed in the way I handled this situation or circumstance. But the fact is, I'm disappointed. What I don't want to do is go look for a broom tree. And then say, God, all my ancestors are dead. Just kill me too, please. But there are times, come on, all of us have been right there. Just take me, I'm done with this. I don't know how I can handle it. But what did he do? What you got to see that he did is he cried out to God. And even though his response wasn't right, his response wasn't, God, just kill me. That's not the right response, is it? For a Christian to pray? That's not the right response. But what did God do? He provided for him so he would get the right response. But what I can tell you is he didn't just go shoot himself. He didn't go put himself in front. He put himself before God. Come on, if you're disappointed, put yourself before God. I understand you may say the wrong thing. You may be mad. You may do something wrong. But don't put yourself before man. He got alone and put himself before God. Boy, this is good. He got alone and put himself before God. He had the wrong thing to say. I can't tell you how many times I've said the wrong thing to God. But if you're going to say the wrong thing, God will fix that. God will fix that. Now, you want to say the right thing, obviously. But there's a lot of people that won't even pray out loud because they're afraid they're going to say the wrong thing. Trust me, Elijah said the wrong thing. But he said something. Come on, we got to put ourselves before God. And then he said the wrong thing and still got a miracle. That's amazing to me. He said the wrong thing. Are y'all seeing this in Scripture? Does that not make you go, wow? Wow. I didn't have the right attitude. I didn't have the right heart. But wow. Wow. This is awesome. And then the angel of the Lord came back. He slept a little more. He got it all. Wow. We find it very easy oftentimes to compromise when danger comes and we don't remain faithful and invite God's attention. But God, hear me, church. God won't abandon a faithful servant. God won't abandon a faithful servant. He hasn't abandoned you. Stay faithful. Stay in communication with him. Second thing, so stay faithful and eat. The second thing that we've got to do is we've got to get our character built up. God's priority, and this is what Ashton was talking about yesterday, God's priority isn't all the time our happiness. Really? Yeah, it's not. His priority is us to get our character right. Well, that's God's priority. Romans 5:3. Chapter 5, verse 3 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. It doesn't say for them, but we can rejoice also when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they'll help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope won't lead us to disappointment. There's our word. This hope won't lead us to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So let me just do an equal thing here. God's perspective. We got to get God's perspective on our life. Problems. I won't say that you're in one right now, but has anybody here ever had one? Maybe you got some this week. Problem. Maybe there's such, well, it may be here, it may be there, it may be a church, it may be a family, it may be at work. I don't know where the problem is, but problems need to equal for a Christian endurance. The problem's got to equal, come on, hold on, endure this thing for the season it takes. Problems equal endurance. You know what endurance equals? A God character, a godly character. That's what, I want a God character in everything I do. Well, how do I get that? I let problems equal endurance. Problems equal endurance. Endurance equals a God character. And character then equals a confident hope. Come on, you got to have your hope right. Well, how do I get my hope right? Well, I let problems equal endurance and endurance equal character. And then my character's right. And then I put my hope in the right place. Not in a sand, not in money, not in a job. I put my hope in the right place because I got a God character. And then what does confident hope lead to? It doesn't lead to the answer yet. You're still in transition to it. But here's what that equals, and here's what you got to know. A confident hope will equal no disappointment. You just read it again and see if that's not all right there. That's exactly what I just read. I'm not going to be disappointed. Why? Because I've let my problems produce endurance. Endurance equal a God character. A God character equal a confident hope in the right place. And then I'm not living in disappointment. This works. Now, I'm not saying you won't have disappointment, but when it does, you've got to take that trial and that circumstance and endure it. Yeah, I need the miracle. You're going to have to endure. You know, after Elijah got his food, what did he have to do? 40 days again without. Strength had to provide him to get through this thing. It's a daily in and out. Okay, I'm full again, now I've got to go, and I'm drained, now I've got to go. And now the third thing here is we got to get the right support for the solution. Romans 5, verse 9, getting the right support. Since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we'll certainly be saved through the life of his son. Psalm 118:8. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Let me say that again. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in a doctor, man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord, to put your trust, your faith, your what I feel secure here in a spouse. Put your refuge in the Lord. Put your refuge. You got a husband and wife both putting the refuge in the Lord, and then they can have it with each other. Why? Because they got character. They got godly hope. And when trials come, they'll learn endurance and they'll work through, and then they're not going to be disappointed. People are disappointed in their spouse all the time. And I'm like, how did that happen? You didn't handle the trials of life correctly. Trials of life came up and you didn't endure them. You didn't take. So whatever the circumstance, whether it be a health concern, whether it be a financial concern, whatever it is, whatever the problem is, whether it be with your church, you got to find the right support for the right solution. Psalm 118:9 says it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Let me just throw out a little side note. I'm not teaching on this. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in your government. Where'd you get that? Psalm 118:9. That's not my words, that's God's. I'm not going to trust in my government. I'm going to trust in God. The government cannot be your refuge. Come on, church. They can't. They can't be your refuge. People will let you down. Leaders will let you down. God's got to be your deliverer. Number four, find your ultimate fulfillment and satisfaction in your relationship with God. That is important. Obviously, there's a safety in a multitude of counsel, according to Proverbs. So we do want to listen to the counsel of man, but you need to stack it up and make sure that it goes back and is a reliance on the word, that you're putting your faith, trust, and hope in. Are you hearing me? It's important. Hebrews 13:5, God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. See, God hasn't left the scene of your life. Come on. God hasn't left the scene of your life. You can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because Jesus made us friends of God. That's just, to me, so clear. Romans 5:11, it's so clear. God made us a friend of God. See, God was the one that made all that happen. And Christ dying on the cross allowed that to happen for you. The fifth, you got to review your life's perspective. This is the last one I want to talk about today. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Let me say that again. Our light and momentary troubles. Our light and momentary troubles. Pastor, I got a big one here. It's a big trouble. Our light and momentary troubles. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff. The light and momentary trials. We're making things big, and I know that from the perspective of this world, they're big. But in the kingdom of God, it's all small stuff. Our light and momentary, because everything here is momentary. They're achieving us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I'm leaving my hand up because, come on, somebody needs to hear that today. It's all small stuff. Our light and momentary troubles. Come on, are we making this bigger than it needs to be? Our light and momentary troubles, they are producing endurance, which is producing, in the end, no disappointment. Our light and momentary troubles are producing eternal glory, and that far outweighs any of that. So we fix our eyes, verse 18, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If you live caught up on your trouble, you'll never produce an avenue out. You'll be trouble-minded your whole life. You're going to have to live knowing that my endurance is for just a season. This is not who I am. This is not what I am. This isn't the life God called for me. God said that he'll use all things to work together for my good. I can't see the good right now, but he's going to use this and it's going to work together. I'm going to claim that and stand on that. Albert Einstein failed his college entrance exam. I don't know if you knew that or not. Albert Einstein failed his college entrance exam. What if he said, I'm done? Now, this is just things of the world. This is small stuff. Walt Disney was fired from his first media job. Now they need to fire whoever's in charge. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Me too. Disappointment. Disappointment. Come on, let's not let disappointment defeat us. Come on, let's not let disappointment defeat us. Let's not let that happen. Let's not let disappointment defeat us. Y'all stand with me this morning.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.